today on Rocking the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, are you ready to do the show?
Just a minute, Jim. I have to look something up in the Trouser Press Record Guide.
Oh, okay.
This is really strange. I can't seem to find a listing that should definitely be in here.
What are you looking for?
Rocking the Suburbs. How are we not included?
That's crazy. All right, Patrick, it's been a little while since we've visited the mailroom here at the studio.
That's right. It's been piling up. The mail person keeps bringing it every day, and we just keep ignoring it.
Yes. So I think it might be time to dig into that. Now, there's some listener correspondence here from some episodes that I wasn't even on. So
wow.
this will be a treat for me. All right. So the show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And I know I've been a bit sporadic. I think I mentioned this is a crazy year. We got a kid graduating high school. We got a kid graduating college. We had some, family stuff, other family things, extended family things we had to deal with, just all kinds of stuff. It's been a crazy year, and I'm sure it has been for a lot of people.
It has been,
couple of years.
A lot of shifts. Yeah. Yep.
So, but I appreciate the people who have joined you on the podcast to talk about various topics. It's been fun for me to listen to some of those. So there we go. So let's start here with the correspondence. We have an email about the Kinks RCA years.
Okay, cool.
You did that with Scott Parks, right?
Scott Parks, yep.
All right, here's an email from Brad Abraham, who says, I very much enjoyed your look at the Kinks RCA years. I own all those albums on vinyl. Unsurprisingly, they aren't the most popular ones on the Kinks secondary market, he says. he says, I enjoy them a great deal more than many people do. And he says, I don't know if you've heard it, but the Internet Archive has a listenable copy of the Kinks Live at the Hippodrome recording from the BBC circa 1973.
Oh, interesting.
Just as Preservation Act 2 was released. And he says, I think those songs in particular really benefit from the live presentation, and I came to enjoy Preservation 1 and 2 more because of it.
Yeah, that's what Scott and I both came to understand, although I don't think either of us had a lot of firsthand knowledge or I was not aware anyway that there was a live recording out there. So that makes a lot of sense. Apparently the characters and the songs really came to life a lot more when they were actually on stage, essentially acting it out, right? Ray was in character and Dave was in character and all that, and they had all the backup singers and the horns and all that stuff playing on stage. So I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, I don't even think about it that often until somebody brings it up. But if you go on that, it's just called the Internet Archive. Just Google that. It's insane.
It's crazy.
Wealth of stuff there. All types of media, not just music. I mean,
right.
It's
kind of mind blowing. Yeah.
It's deep. Yeah, you can find a lot of treasure there.
Yeah.
So interesting.
It's also got that Wayback Machine where you can put in a URL and see what the site looked like at a certain time or day. Right. It's pretty amazing.
That's right. Let's see here. Brad goes on to say, he says, and in a shameless bit of self-promotion, I wrote a piece about the Kinks on my website. And he gives the link here. And then he says, I'm really enjoying your podcast and just subscribe to it on Spotify and looking forward to future listens. So that's nice.
Beautiful.
With this link here, I clicked on it. He has a piece about how much he loves the Kinks and how how this developed and what he likes about them and everything. And we can put this link in the article that goes with this episode, right? All right. So thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. Good to hear from you. Glad you're a subscriber. Welcome aboard.
Very short comment here. It was a Twitter comment from Kurt Gallagher. Says, Muswell Hillbillies is my Sergeant Peppers.
Wow.
One track I love so much that went unmentioned here is Have a Cup of Tea.
Great song.
And then he says, thanks for the episode. You are on a noble mission. So, yeah, Have a Cup of Tea. That very, very, very much fits in with the Kinks' very British
Absolutely.
Songwriting and attitude and image, right?
It's such a great album. It, as we sort of talked about, it kind of bridges two eras. It leads you into one and takes you out of another. It's really a great record.
Now, here's my question about tea. I know there are some tea experts out there in the listenership. I can think of one in particular, but I think there are some others. I recently had the occasion. I was sort of making a joke about something else and somebody, and I used the phrase spot of tea. Now, I'm not really a tea drinker myself. I just knew that like term, but is a spot of tea the same as a cup of tea, or is it less than? Is it a lesser amount than a cup of tea?
You got me. We're going to have to get some help on that one. I have no idea.
Or is it the same? Is it just another way to say cup of tea? It could be that, too. Because I don't think a cup of tea is very big to begin with. So I don't know. Spot of tea might be the same thing.
And then there's tea, right? Which is kind of a meal or a light meal that you have with tea.
Oh, yeah. In the is it mid-afternoon? Something like that?
Something like that. But, yeah.
Yeah, there may be some like small like finger foods or that kind of thing that go with it, or I don't know.
What's for tea, ma'am?
What's for tea, darling? Darling, I said, what's for tea?
What's for tea, daughter?
Okay, enough tea talk. Let's see. Especially from two guys who don't really know anything about it. Okay. Okay, now, on the topic of record guides, which just addressed in a book nook, we got a voice memo sent to us, a message here from Vasanth Ramamurthy.
Oh, sweet.
Hey, Jim and Patrick and Suburbs Pod community. This is Vasanth from the suburbs of Chicago calling in. I just wanted to comment on episode 1342, Patrick's book nook, about the record and album guides, and talk about my own experience. So I'm going to specifically date myself a little bit, but it was the summer of 1997, and I was I just graduated from high school and just didn't do anything much that summer, but just kind of waiting, getting ready for college and stuff. And so started going to my local library, and I picked up the Spin Guide to Alternative Music, which Patrick mentioned. And that was really a life-changing book for me because luckily the library also had a very good collection of CDs and cassettes as well that you could rent. So pretty much that whole summer, I was just reading that book, making notes, and then checking out the albums and things that looked interesting to me from that book. So some of the things I took notes on, just remembering some of the stuff that I listened to. So just imagine listening to all these albums for the first time when you're like 17, 18. So some of them were like The Pretenders for self-titled, Husker Du's Flip Your Wig, New Day Rising, Zen Arcade, The Minutemen, Double Nickels on the Dime, Liz Phair, Exile and Guyville, Patti Smith, Horses, Sonic Youth, Daydream Nation, X, Los Angeles and Wild Gift, The Buzzcocks, Singles Going Steady, Modern Lovers, self-titled, Television, Marquee Moon, and The Replacements, Let It Be. So that's just some of the stuff that I pretty much heard for the first time during that summer, thanks to that book, finding out about all that stuff. So that book really pretty much set the tone for the rest of my, music life and listening and stuff. So I'll never forget that summer, listening to all that and learning from that book. And just kind of a last footnote, another band that I read about in that book was Mission of Burma, and that was actually the year that Ryko Disc reissued their albums and stuff for the first time in CD in a long time. And I just happened to enter a contest on the Ryko website because I read about the reissues, and I happened to win it and basically got CD copies of all those three reissues they put out, and those are the copies I still have to this day. So again, that's thanks to the book and finding out about Mission of Burma and stuff. So just wanted to comment on my experience with album guides. I'm a big fan. I still use Trouser Press Online even to this day. So that's all. Thank you. Take care.
So there you go. Thank you, Vasanth.
Very cool. Man, that must have been a heck of a summer to discover all those records for the first time. Goodness gracious, that's amazing. And thanks to the public library for having that book in there, which is pretty cool, too. That's a cool book. It really is. And I don't know if it's still in print or anything, but I thought that was really, really well done. I liked Spin's record reviews in the magazine and read them all the time. And then, I don't know, the magazine sort of changed near the end, right? Jim, it became like down to regular size because it was a bigger one at first. And and then it, I don't know, it sort of changed its focus a little bit. But I think that's a great guide. I really do. It covers, like Vasanth said, a different subset of indie rock and punk, and really focused, just by the list he was talking about there, really focused on influences and those who took those influences to a different space. I mean,
yeah, I have that book. Yeah. And I have a couple of different Rolling Stone record guides. I have that one with the blue cover.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of people had. That was from the 80s.
That was the Bible for me, just like this one was for Vasanth. Yeah.
And then I have one that has more of like a grayish cover. Mm. I'd have to go find it. I don't know where that is right now, but those are probably the only ones I have. I'm trying to think if I have any other record guides. I might.
Any jazz record guides? That was a big
one.
No,
I don't have any of that.
Yeah, okay.
I don't have any of that. I do have a really good book on that catalogs all of the major league stadiums through history.
Oh, cool. That's very
I like that
cool.
a lot.
That is cool. Yes.
Okay. Last topic here today on the fan mail, we got some correspondence regarding Frank Ocean.
Oh, cool.
Including this message here.
What is up, everybody? It's Mackenzie Crenshaw here, responding to Scott and Patrick's episode about Frank Ocean's Channel Orange. If they couldn't convince you to listen to it, here is me telling you to go listen to not just Channel Orange, but also Frank's second album, Blonde. Frank Ocean was like very, I think, important in my like formative years of music, I guess, my young adulthood. I was 15, maybe 16 when Channel Orange was released, and I was a young college student when his second album, Blonde, was released. And what I remember is this was the first time I was engaging with people my age and like tearing apart albums. Like every lyric, every little sound, every pitch change, like people were into this. Like you can go on Reddit, Twitter, all of the social medias and find people just like engaging in this like really deep analysis of Frank. And it was very fun. And I think to their point as well, like Frank is drawing from a lot of soul and R&B artists. And for kids my age who are not engaging in that music, I think it's a really good starting point. And I think Frank actually paved the way for a lot of other contemporary R&B artists that we're hearing now. So very cool. Y'all didn't mention Forrest Gump, though. I'm a little salty. That is my favorite song on Channel Orange. Forrest Gump is so good. It is just as it sounds. This was one of the songs I remember people like trying to tear apart. They're like, is he talking from his perspective or is he talking from Jenny's perspective? Is this actually about the movie? Like, what is going on? And that was always fun. But I just think it's a very sparse and short song, but very like impactful, very vulnerable. That's where the Crimson Tide cheerleaders are, Patrick. It's one of my favorite songs, not just on the album, but of the 2010s. But yes, go listen to Frank Ocean. This is Mackenzie telling you to do it. I'll see y'all very soon. I'll see you on the flip side. Bye.
I wanna see pom-poms from the stairs. Come on, come on. My fingertips and my lips, they burn from the cigarettes. Forrest Gump, you run my mind, boy. Running on my mind, boy. Forrest Gump, I know you're Forrest. I know you wouldn't hurt a beetle, but you're so buff and so strong.
gum. My fingertips and my lips, they burn from the cigarettes. Forrest Gump, you run my mind, boy. Running on my mind, boy. Forrest Gump, I saw you game, Forrest. I was screaming, run 44, but you kept running past the end zone. Oh, where'd you go, Forrest? Forrest Gump, my fingertips and my lips, they burn from the cigarettes. Forrest Gump, you run my mind.
All right. Thoughts there?
No, I she's right. Mackenzie's telling you to do it. You have to do it. It's not just Scott and Patrick ranting about something. I don't know, Jim. Did you have any thoughts on that album or Blonde? I mean, Scott was like, let's not talk about Blonde. We have to do a whole nother episode on that. I'm like, okay. If you want to.
That's fair. I didn't really know that much about him until you were so excited about this new album coming out.
Yeah.
And that was when I started to listen to him. Yeah, I mean, his stuff is great. It's really kind of amazing.
It is. And I thought that was really interesting about Mackenzie saying that it was the first time, you know, her and her contemporaries really were like tearing albums and songs apart, like really trying to, you know, get into the details of it. That's really cool. That record when everybody else is analyzing it in the same way.
Okay, there's one last comment here from Jay Ignacio. He posted this on the Facebook. He said, thanks, Scott. I forgot to mention that this was another episode that you did with Scott Parks. So Jay says, thanks, Scott. Love Frank Ocean. Back in the day, I followed a lot of MP3 blogs. Somehow, I stumbled on the Odd Future website, which released tons of early mixtapes of the Odd Future hip-hop crew, which included Tyler, the Creator, and Earl Sweatshirt.
Yep.
Odd Future were unlike the hip-hop crews of the past. Along with the regular rap influences, they were influenced by skate and punk culture.
Mm.
They even had a show on Adult Swim. Later, they included like-minded R&B acts like Frank Ocean and The Internet. Frank's Ultra Nostalgia was released in full back in the 2010s. It's a great primer for Channel Orange. Here's my favorite song from that mixtape. It's called Swim Good.
Mm.
So there you go. And then he has a link here for you, Patrick. So
okay.
So there you go. I don't know. Any thoughts on that? This is a little bit outside of my purview.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really know much about Odd Future until Tyler sort of became Tyler, the Creator, as a persona, and learned about it then. And I know Frank's involvement was, you know, basically around the beginning of it, but it's a great point about the skate and punk culture being a part of that. I mean, they sort of blended a lot of different things from the California perspective and blended it all with hip hop, you know, having a hip hop crew and all that kind of stuff that came before that. So in that sense, they're very interesting. And also they were deliberately provocative in the same way as punks were. You know, they would just go to airports and get thrown out of the airport. They wouldn't let them get on the airplane and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
you know, crazy. But one thing I did want to note really quick, Jim, before we close out is I thought I dreamt this, but I'm looking in our email box now and I didn't dream it. Ira Robbins sent us an email saying, I enjoyed hearing this book nook. And that's all he said. But Ira Robbins is the guy who founded Trouser Press and was behind all those book nooks. So very cool that he took a second to do that.
The record guides, yeah.
Record guides, yeah, okay. I mean, not the book nooks. Yeah. No, that's us.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's really great.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
Okay, one last thing before we go.
Okay.
Well, first off, since we're talking fan mail here, if people have comments on any of the shows.
Yeah.
That we do, you can call and leave a message, 612-440-1984. Yep, or you can record a voice memo or type up an email. Either way, send those to rock@suburbspod.com, or you can post comments on our Facebook or Twitter, or I guess Instagram, all those at suburbspod. All right. One last thing, Suburbs Fests are coming up. so we just updated the webpage on our website. So go to suburbspod.com, click on the Suburbs Fest banner.
Yep.
And you'll find their information on the Chicago one, which is August 4, 5, and 6.
Yep.
And the DC one, which is September 29 and 30 and October 1st. And we just locked down the, for the DC one, we just locked down the spot where we're going to have the live Hootenanny.
Right.
And that's going to be at a VFW. So now we got a VFW and an American Legion
Sweet.
Hall for the whole thing, right? So, but that's going to be a lot of fun. And then, we're still working on the third night of the Chicago one.
Yep.
We're very close. So there is going to be some live music that night. We're just close on the venue. But anyway, and the hotel information for both places is on there. We have discount blocks of rooms for both of them. So that's all on that webpage as well. So go to suburbspod.com, click on Suburbs Fest, and you'll find all of that. All right?
Yeah, sounds good. And there are deadlines on those hotel rooms, blocks. So to get the discount, you got to book. I know it seems far away, but if you're planning on going, you know, you might as well go ahead and reserve a spot if you're going to be... if you're going to be coming from outside the metropolitan area, right? But we got some people where it's going to be a home game for them. So that's going to be cool, too.
Yeah. It's going to be tons of fun.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Okay.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you all later. That's a pretty big trunk on my Lincoln Town car, ain't it? Big enough to take these broken hearts and put them in it. Now I'm driving round on the boulevard, trunk bleeding. And every time the cops pull me over, they don't ever see them, they never see them. And I got this black suit on, roaming around like I'm ready for a funeral. Five more miles till the road runs out. Drive in the ocean, I'ma try to swim from something bigger than me. Kick off my shoes and swim good, and swim good. Take off this suit and swim good, and swim good, but James Cameron is not English. I want to say he's Canadian, but anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
But anyway, it annoyed him to no end that at a certain time every day, according to union rules, they had to stop for tea. The whole crew and everything had to stop for tea.
Just while we're getting going.
Yes, exactly. Of course. He could not deal with this, that's what they had to do. But anyway.